How do you like my new little pulpit here? Somebody built that for me. I actually have a place to lay everything. I even have shelves under here for little snacks and things. And kind of think through what all I want to put in there. But this is movable as well. I appreciate very much the individual took the time to build that for me. What are you willing to believe God for in 2016? This is one of those Sundays that I'm real sure that I have what we're to have. And, of course, I never know who's going to be here. This is like this ministry is becoming like everywhere we've ever been. You just never know on a Sunday. There's the core people that are usually there, but you just never know who will be there. And that's just folks visit from time to time. We reach out to a lot of people that are going through difficulties and hard times, and not everyone is able to be here because of work schedules, family issues, having children weekends, etc. So we're never real sure. So I give a lot of thought to, Lord, what would you have me say? In our remaining time today, I definitely feel that this is what God has given me for today. And so I believe that some of the things I want to say will definitely apply to even some of you who may be visiting today. And Thanksgiving weekend, we have some of our main people away today, but so glad for some visitors here with us. What are you willing to believe God for in 2016? This last week, that's been on my mind. Me personally, what am I willing to believe God for? What would he stir my heart? You know, I can, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I can pick, boy, I'd like to see this, I'd like to see that. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I'm finding more and more as I pray and get older, I seek the Spirit to guide my prayers. What is it? And I am asking you that 4 weeks before the year ends on purpose. I don't want you to make an impulse decision at a New Year's Eve service, or incidentally, I think we may have a communion service on New Year's Eve this year, we'll see. But we could easily on New Year's Eve, oh, I'm going to ask God this, I'm going to ask God that. But I'd like you to give some thought to it. Lord, what would you stir my heart? What area would you like to grow my faith? We live in troubled times, folks. I don't need to convince you of that, I don't think. I think we all see that. Last week, I preached on Day of Deception and gave you some just simple principles of things to hang on to. Back to basics could be a good name for this ministry. When the hurricane is coming, we don't trim the shrubs and clean the eave spoutings and when the hurricane is coming, we're putting up plywood over the windows and we're making sure there's flashlight batteries and we're making sure that the trap door of the basement is ready to open quickly. And we're checking to see where everybody is, everybody's location, what time are you going to be home. We kind of pull it in a little bit. We're not worried about the fringes. And I believe that's the season that we're in. God is calling the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, to come back to basics, to get serious about sonship, to get serious about being a son and daughter of God, to walk in the Spirit, to make what I do and think and say profitable for it to be gold and silver as opposed to wood, hay, and stubble. For everyone's works will be tested and tried. I don't want to spend my life doing a bunch of things only to find out it was wood, hay, and stubble. Do you? I don't want to come to the end and realize, yeah, I did a bunch of good things, you know. Yeah, I kept occupied. I want to go to another level. I want to go deeper than that. I want the things that I do to be wood, to not to be wood, hay, and stubble, but rather gold and silver. And when it's tested and tried, it's the pure, it's the right stuff. And I believe it's a back to basics time. So it's very appropriate to ask in this season of the last days, what are you willing to believe God for in 2016? Want to stimulate your thinking, kind of explore the whole thing of stepping out in faith this morning. Just going to give you some brief points on stepping out in faith and take a brief look at four different individuals in the Scripture that stepped out in faith in unusual ways. And I believe there's something in this for everybody this morning. I believe that there's something in it specifically for each of you. Last week, I encourage you to pray six prayers. Title of the message was Day of Deception. So I've encouraged you to pray, Be Not Deceived. I've prayed that for 42 years. Prayed that diligently for 42 years. Lord, don't let me be deceived. I say this, I've said this 10,000 times. And I don't. That's not exaggeration. I've probably said this 10,000 times over the years. Lord, don't let me be deceived or deceive myself in any way. If I am deceived, open my eyes, unless it's to shield me from something. I think there's times, and I don't think deception's a good word. I think there's times God kind of shields you from something. Have you ever had something that you didn't find out till later and you're kind of glad you didn't know at the time? Yeah. You kind of find out something that happened. You know, your kids all grow up and tell you all the stuff they did when they were little, and you're thinking, man, I'm glad I missed some of that. And I'm having fun with that, but I do pray, Lord, don't let me be deceived or deceive myself in any way. If I am deceived, open my eyes, unless you're temporarily shielding me in some way. And maybe there's a period of time I don't need to know something. You're in charge. I don't have to have instant everything answered. You're in charge. But I encourage you to pray six prayers. Be not deceived. Show me truth. I'm deeply thankful for the desire for truth. I think maybe that came originally from my father mentoring. I had the privilege of being mentored by Jack Robbins and Ronald Bishop. And wow, too much is given, much is required. I've had people say to me, Tom, you put a lot into this. Well, I have to. I have to. God sent me two of the greatest mentors that I know and was able to glean from the strengths of each, Daddy's preaching gift and his wisdom and his understanding, his analytical ability. And then Pastor Bishop came along with a compassion that was deeper than I'd ever seen in my life, and I was intrigued by that. And what an awesome privilege to be mentored. Are you being mentored by anyone? Of course, if you're going to be mentored, you got to be willing to take instruction. You know, if you know everything, you can't be mentored. You got to be willing to say, I don't know everything in the world. And I think maybe that person that's twice my age might have learned something I haven't. Lord, would you teach me something? But if you come to God with a teachable spirit and you have a desire for truth, Kevin, I know you have a desire for truth. You've said that to me over and over. If you have a desire for truth, God will send you people. He'll bring people in that you know wasn't a coincidence. And you might glean from this one for a while, and then he'll move you to this one, and then someone else will enter your life. I look back, I see people visited my life for periods of time. Some have been long-haul mentors, but others have just been contributed from time to time. Show me truth. Do you want truth? I've often said the truth will either set you free or make you mad. Do I want truth? I want to be about truth. Give me discernment. Oh, lots of emphasis in the last 25, 30 years on gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are wonderful, wonderful things. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. The gifts that come from God are perfect. They're absolutely perfect. And He knows what you need and when you need it. And it's awesome to receive gifts from God, but I think it's also important to recognize the season that we're in. And in this season, you need discernment. You need spiritual sense of smell. Because there's things that's got a lot of truth in it, but it's deceptive in other ways. And people are getting sucked in. And they're teaching a gospel that doesn't have the cross in it. They're teaching a gospel that sounds really good and draws a lot of people, but it doesn't have a cross in it. It doesn't have any self-denial in it. It doesn't have any forsaking of sin in it. And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And I think in this season, it's so appropriate to pray, give me wisdom and discernment. Give me spiritual sense of smell. And send me wise counselors. And here again, that's about mentoring. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Send me wise counselors. I think these are six valuable prayers. But then five and six, and especially six. Number five is not succumb to the spirit of fear. Wow, is there a spirit of fear today in our world? It's gripping everybody as terrorism moves from here. And of course, terror, by virtue of the word terror, is to create terror and fear. The Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. But not to succumb to a spirit of fear. And I think that the devil's desire for each of us in this age is to allow the spirit of fear to come in and affect our daily lives and give us a hesitancy to make a decision. And certainly we can run ahead and make wrong decisions, and they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So there is a balance. But I've been asking the Lord to help me not to succumb to the spirit of fear. I believe that the spirit of the age is a spirit of fear. And fear and anxiety around our world of what tomorrow holds and what's coming down the pike and daily anxieties. And some of you are in times of huge adjustment in your life, and I would encourage you to rebuke the spirit of fear, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And when you wake in the night, some of you that have had recent losses, and there's that rush of fear, being alarmed by sudden fear, the Bible says. To quote the Word of God, for the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will push back the enemy through the Holy Spirit as we say, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The enemy's forces are pushed back. So 5 and 6 are my emphases today. Not succumb to the spirit of fear, and Lord, build my faith. Interesting, if you look on the wallpaper of my phone, I guess I don't have it in my pocket. I was going to show you, at least the people in the front row. It's laying in the office. But I have on the wallpaper of my phone 2015, this year, 2015 year of faith. God spoke to me personally at the beginning of 2015 that this would be a year of faith and seeing some things fulfilled and a further call to faith. I actually began questioning that as I'd put it on my phone about a month or month and a half ago, because yes, there's been a lot going on this year, and yes, this has been a year of growth, and yes, there's been spiritual progress in my own life this year. I'm talking about me personally right now. But I didn't see some of the things I thought that would go along with this being the year of faith. You know, I guess maybe I was expecting some bigger things in my own mind, but God spoke to me about a month ago that He needed to prepare me, because as leaders, are you listening? As leaders, we need to set the pace. And 2015 needed to be a year where I prayed for an increase of faith, because now to call you to a new level of faith. And I believe He does start with us often as leaders and asks us to set the pace. And in these last few weeks, it's still 2015, and God has been stirring my own heart in the area of faith. So I want to explore a few things. What are you willing to believe God for, was the question I had up initially. What are you willing to believe God for in 2016? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. And then He goes on to say, by faith, Noah, and the next few verses, by faith, Abraham, and begins going through the patriarchs of old. But I want you to notice that verse, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He is, He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. I don't have verse 1 of Hebrews 11 up here, but I want to go back to it. If you have a Bible open, if not, I'll read it to you. I like the way the NIV says it. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Lord, I'm hoping for your deliverance. I'm hoping for you to come through in my situation. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Do we always know the details? Do we always know in what manner everything will follow through and what the journey, what route the journey will take? Do we always know that? No. Is what we expected around the curve what happens? No, not always. Sometimes we round that curve and it's different than we anticipated. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Lord, I know that you're going to come through. My mom had the best statement of faith. You know, over the years, I've heard a lot of statements of faith, and I've heard a lot of people say, speak faith, and that's important. Not making light of that at all, but I think my mom had the best statement of faith in speaking faith that I've ever heard. Mom wasn't one to say, you know, God's going to give me a Cadillac. Mom, just that isn't the way she went with this. But I don't care what happened in our lives. Miriam, you'll remember this, I think, growing up. No matter what happened in our lives, and sometimes things happened that threw us. No matter what happened in our lives, Mom would say, well, we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord. And he's going to bring us through this. I don't know the details. I can't get out a pad and say, well, it's going to be this, 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 this. I can't do that. I don't know that. But he's going to see us through. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Oh, we start out and our faith is weak and we're kind of hoping that, you know, I hope this whole heaven thing's right. And boy, this sounds pretty good. And I'm hoping this new creation in Christ, old things pass away. I hope that's all right on the money. I hope that's the way it really is. Man, I'd like to be that. I hope this changed heart really does work. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Lord, I'm positive. You said it in your word, and I'm positive you're going to come through for me. I may not know exactly what that looks like. I may not know all the details of that. I may not know what the finished product looks like, but I know that you're going to come through for me. Go ahead, take that step in your situation. Go ahead. What are you willing to believe God for in 2016? I believe faith, true faith, has surrender in it. I don't believe true faith is demanding. I've heard it that way, but it does something to my spirit. I can't put it in words. I've prayed next to people, and they were demanding of God, and their tone was telling him, you'll do this and you'll do that. And I'm like, I found myself, even without even realizing it, my body kind of backing away from kneeling next to them because I'm like, I'm not part of this. We don't demand from God, but there is a positive feeling as a son, Kevin. You've talked a lot about sonship, your desire for that. There's a positive feeling as a son where you come with a confidence and you're sure of what you're hoping for. Grandpa's going to come through. I don't know if he's going to do everything just the way I said, but I asked Grandpa for his help and he's going to come through. Psalms 103 says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. And he'll come through. And faith is saying, you know what? He's going to come through. I'm not going to dictate to him what it's all going to look like. I'm not going to spell out to him and tell him how it has to be because he's in charge. It's got surrender in it. You with me? It's got surrender. See, you got doctrines got this mixed up. They got this mixed up. We want it all to be truth. Jesus himself said, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. But I believe you're going to come through. And God came through and gave redemption for mankind through the death on the cross, through Jesus' surrender, and through his positive trust in his Father. And the great plan of redemption was unfolded when Jesus cried out, it is finished. And any man, woman, boy, or girl can come to Christ regardless of their past and open their heart to him and receive him. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then verse 6 there, I read it to start with, without faith it's impossible to please God. What are you willing to believe God for in 2016? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Practical statements for you. We're talking about back to basics the last couple of weeks, the season that we're in. Get the word of God in you. Get the word of God in you. With prayer and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, receive the word of God in you. I'm not just talking about a mental discipline where we get out note cards and we make ourselves mental scripture, mentally memorize scripture. I'm talking about something deeper than that. I'm talking about with an open heart and a hope and a trust to begin taking in the scripture and, yes, commit it to memory. I would encourage you these verses I have on the wall to memorize this week. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I just have a portion of the verse there on the wall for the reference. Taking in God's word. God brought these four verses to me as foundations. Isaiah 7:9, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. That verse especially means a lot to me. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all, because in a rough time of my life, in a very rough time of my life, when it seemed like everything was going down, God gave me that verse. Tom, you've been given enough. You've been taught the scriptures. You've been mentored by the best. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. It's time to engage it. It's time to put into clutch and put that thing in gear and let out on the clutch and start going. It's time to do that. And some of you have been soaking for a long time. It's time to let out on the clutch. Some of you have been soaking for a long time. Oh, I want more of the word. You can get a quest for learning that's just an obsession, and you're not applying any of it. Anybody know anybody like that? They're just a wealth of knowledge, but when you follow them around their daily life, you're like, this doesn't look like it's working very well. It's better to know three or four verses. It's better to understand, love your neighbor as yourself, and at work, it works. And in conflicts, it works. And in stresses, it works. And with family difficulties, it works. Than to be able to quote 1,000 verses. But oh my, over the years, if you can memorize 100, 10, 100, or even 1,000 verses, my, if you take them in, if you take them into your heart, the tremendous connection you will have, because the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Some of us have learned and learned and learned and learned. It's time. It's time to put it in first gear and let out on the clutch. What are you willing to believe God for this year? God gave me this for us this morning, specifically for this morning. I know that He did. I'm not going to be apologetic about it. So I believe He's calling us, and I believe He's calling different ones of us in different ways. Only you can decide that. I won't dictate those things. Oh, I am aggressive when it comes to the general principles of God. Unapologetic and aggressive. But when it comes to the specifics, I believe the Holy Spirit applies it the way that He will. And I've been amazed that people come up and say, I like that sermon that you preached on such and such. And I thought, I don't remember saying that. But something stood out to them because it was for them. And so in their mind, that was the title of the message. And I thought, that wasn't the title of the message. That's my prayer, that the Holy Spirit will apply. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And in a rough, difficult time in my life, God reminded me that He had given me the best of mentors, and He had given me so much scripture, and He'd given me a lot of revelation. I have been blessed in the Christian life, and I say this with a thankful heart. If I had to say things I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for revelation. I've had a lot of revelation. I think maybe an unusual amount in my life of revelation. Things that just, they didn't come from something else, and they didn't come from somebody else telling me something, and not, don't mean this name, it didn't come from a book, or it didn't come from that, it was revelation. It was things that on my walk, God just gave me, and I knew that He gave me. I've been blessed in that way. But with that comes some need to step out on that revelation. Why am I saying this with passion? Because God has been stirring me that 2015 in my own life was a year of faith for me, because it was the leading of you into a year of faith in 2016 for us as a group. And I believe that the things that God gave me on Praise Mountain in Colorado in 2011, when I took the year off, and that was a difficult year. It was a year where throughout the year, one of my sons was in a horrible accident and nearly died, and it looked like the ministry had melted down, and all kinds of things happened that I didn't see coming around the corner. But now I look back, that was a year of revelation, because revelation comes out of pain a lot of times. But God is calling us now to fulfill every bit of that. And we've begun. We had a painful birthing process here at CMO, but we got a bouncing baby boy now. Yeah, we do. And there's life, and there's interest, and there's drawing, and God's bringing people. And bringing people with broken lives. And he's begun to use those things. Now God has been drawing me back to that pad. And this week, I'll bet you 20 times I've leafed through that pad and read all the verses that he gave me in Colorado when I was gone that month. And he's been saying to me, what do you want to believe God for in 2016? We're entering a hard season in America. We're entering a new season that's going to be difficult in our world. But it can be a great season for Christians. Are you listening? It can be a great season for Christians, because it's in hardship that the truth comes out and the excess is trimmed off, and the gold and the nuggets come out, and the wooden hay and stubble goes to the side, and the gold and silver surfaces, and he purifies us through the fire. Romans 14:23 says, For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'm always scared that disappeared, since it's done that to me several times. I have to turn around and check to see if it's there. Now, quickly, don't think, oh man, he said he had four characters. He's going to spend an hour on each one. Not the case. Food for thought. I want you to, I don't know where you're at in your own personal devotions. I trust you're spending time with God. I trust that you're making a priority. Some of you who are confined to home, great time to connect with God. 10 years ago, St. Vincent's Hospital was a sanctuary. The weeks in the hospital turned into a spiritual retreat. I can truly say I've been to lots of pastors' retreats. I've been to pastors' retreats in other cities, went to Atlanta and different places. I've been to pastors' retreats with hundreds and thousands of pastors. I never had the encounters and revelation that I had in room 68:14 at St. Vincent's Hospital. A time of being confined in difficulty can be a very precious and special time of revelation. Four Bible characters quickly, food for thought. Encourage you then, especially some of you that have a lot of time on your hands, to maybe look at these individuals in Scripture and see what you get from it. I'm going to just throw a few highlights out. And we're answering the question, what does God want you to believe him for? What are you willing to believe God for in 2016? Noah. We'll not turn and read it. You know the story. Most of you could tell us at least part of it. Genesis 6:11-22 is the heart of the story. He's mentioned in Hebrews 11 that I just read, about the fathers of faith. In fact, he's mentioned very early in the lineup. It first says, by faith, Enoch. Then it goes on to say, by faith, Noah. What are you willing to believe God for? Noah was a man, and once you get this, he believed God for something that no one else did. I believe there's someone, maybe several, under the sound of my voice. Not trying to be clever with words or be creative here. That's not what I'm doing. In preparing this, I had a sense that there were individuals in each category of the four men I'll mention, believing for something that no one else does. God came to Noah, you know the story. It had never rained up to that point. The earth was watered from a mist that came up from the ground. Imagine if it was just a heavy dew that watered the earth. And someone tells you that water is going to form in clouds overhead. And would that make sense to you? Wouldn't to me. And there are going to be buckets of water enough that it's going to rise to cover everything. And it's going to come from the sky and pour in drops. If it had never rained, that wouldn't make sense to you. We understand scientifically about how that all works, the evaporation and the clouds holding that water and then the change in temperature, et cetera, and all that comes into play to make raindrops. We've got some understanding of that. But if you had never seen that, you wouldn't believe it. And then to say that it was going to rain so hard that it would drown every living thing, and I want you to build a boat. We could say a lot about that. What I want for you today, just to stimulate thought for you and ask the Holy Spirit to use that. Who does this apply to? Is this the year, 2016, to believe for something that no one else does? Everybody else thinks you're crazy. I've had God call me at different times in my walk the last 42 years with Him to do something that no one else understood. Young Christians, be careful of that. Seek counsel. I've had people come to me, Pastor, I'm feeling this. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. And with hesitancy, they said, you think I'm crazy too? And I've said, well, I got to admit, it sounds kind of crazy, but I can see in your eyes, I believe God has spoken to you. I believe God has spoken to you. And I believe people that are led of the Spirit and are connected with the Spirit will feel it. I've had people say to me, well, I don't understand it all. And on the surface, that doesn't look like maybe the right thing to do. Opening that ministry, I'm not sure that that's on the surface, that doesn't look, and it sure goes against all the denominational rules, and it sure goes against the way you normally do things, but I can tell when I pray for you and talk to you that I believe God has spoken to you. I believe that God has spoken to you. There's a growth that comes in your life when you know that God has spoken to you. It's one thing to read all the Bible stories and feel some connections. It's another thing to hear some testimonies and feel some connections. But there is a growth that comes. It's a hurdle we must go over. There's a growth that comes when you know that God has spoken to you. What are you willing to believe God for in 2016? Believing Him for something that no one else does. My brother-in-law Jess happens to be here this morning. I had this written down, didn't know he's coming. He actually quoted a movie, an old movie, Field of Dreams. Tears came up in my eyes as I stood in the house, and we had just opened CMO. Lord had provided the building in a marvelous way. Didn't cost us anything. I was wrestling with how does this look on the surface, and how can this be misinterpreted, and caught in all those cobwebs. I looked over at Jess and was sharing some of that with him, and tears came up in his eyes, and he quoted Field of Dreams. He said, build it and they will come. And we both cried because we knew that it was inspired and God was in it. We didn't need to understand it all. And can I tell you something else? I said this one other time in this congregation, but this mix wasn't here. If you know in your heart of hearts that God has spoken to you, don't apologize for it. I got chastised for that, Sean. After first getting this property and kind of moving in a direction that didn't look on the surface like maybe that was the right thing to do and maybe the socially acceptable thing to do and the proper thing to do in the whole religious world and all that. For a few days, I got on the defensive. And when I run into people, I would in an apologetic way, well, we're doing this, but we're not trying to cause any problem. And when I went on my prayer walk, I got chastised tremendously by the Lord. And the Lord said to me, son, when I tell you to do something, don't you apologize for it. He did. I remember it like yesterday. And the chastisement of the Lord is because He loves you. Did you know that whom the Lord loves, He chastens? So it's a sweet thing. That's why I cry when I think about it. It's kind of a sweet thing to get a spanking from the Lord. He must care. Don't you think he's got more to do than to worry about me getting off track? Pardon my English, I ain't nobody. But the fact that he would correct me and bring me in, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. I got in a mood for a few days. I'd run into people and they'd say, I hear you're open right over 3 miles from right. And I started getting apologetic, and God said to me, when I tell you to do something, son, don't you apologize for it. And I said, I remember I was on the road, I did this. I said, you're right, I see it. I am sorry, I will not apologize again. Don't misunderstand this. But your own examples are the ones you can give with passion. I'm not saying this in an arrogant way. If you're taking it that way, it's shame on you. I don't mean it that way. But your own examples are the ones you have passion for. Sometimes God calls you to do something that nobody understands. Why in the world would you build an ark? Long it had never rained. That doesn't make any sense. But sometimes God calls you to do something that people don't understand. But you will have a growth by doing that that you wouldn't have gotten any other way. And 20 years of schooling won't do it. And 75 trips to the library and reading all the books there won't do it. There are certain things that only happen. Steps that only happen when you believe God when no one else does. Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, get thee out to a land I will show thee. Not going to spend long on this because we talk about this from time to time. Believing God for a new season. Are you tired of the old one, anybody? When you look at your life, I've been there. I don't like this season. I don't like that season I had. I don't want to go through that again. I'm tired of that stuff. I'm up to here with it. I need a new season. Get thee out to a land I will show thee. Get thee out to a land I will show thee. Sometimes God will call you, I've experienced this, to leave there and the neighbors say, where are you going? Well, not sure. Knew we were to go to Chicago, didn't understand it all. Only looking back, Daddy used to say, life's lived forward and understood backwards. Only looking back do we understand a lot of the reason for that. Some of that was for our own development. Some of it gave us what we needed to birth this. Working on the streets of Chicago at night showed me the depravity of sin and addiction. Vince, I'd have never known it. You could have told me 1,000 times, but I had to be on the street at night and see the cars at 3 a.m. backed up and traffic backed up everywhere and all the clubs, doors hanging open, strip joints and 14-year-old prostitutes on the street and sacrificing chickens in the basement across the street and all the feeling that goes with that. I think a lot of going up there was to give us an understanding of the depth of what's really going on in spiritual warfare. And man, when somebody came in and needed delivered, you had a little different view of it than the local church down here had told you. And it melded your differences. When you were out on the street walking next to Chuck, my buddy, my pastor friend up there, in the middle of the night at 3 a.m, and you had just joined hands and prayed because these pimps over here had threatened your life to kill you because they knew what you were up to, and you were helping girls get off the street. You know, you didn't care what denomination he was and what his view was on baptism or this or that. Or you know, you didn't care. You just glad Chuck was there. Dealing with darkness will melt your differences and it'll really unite if your heart's with God and you'll let stuff go that we fuss about. You're just so glad you got a partner there. You're just so glad you got somebody on your page. You're not going to fuss with them. You're just glad they're there. And you get back to the basics of the love of God and the power of the cross. Because I'm going to tell you something. At 3, 4 a.m. when your life's threatened, we've had it. There's only one thing where you figure out if you believe it or not. You figure out if you believe it or not. Get thee out to a land I will show you. Back on track, went off a little bit there. Needed to do that though. Abraham was called to step out. Where are you going? I don't know. He just said, get thee out to a land, I will show thee. Well, now, all the books say you need to have a plan. I remember, no disrespect, but I sat down with a group of leaders in Chicago, and they said, we want your five-year plan. I said, sorry, I don't have a five-year plan. I ain't got a five-month plan. I wasn't sure then if I had a five-minute plan. And I'm not trying to be cute, but all I knew is this. I knew it every time I went in a city, and I'm not a city guy. I'm from Cornfield, USA. Every time I went in the city and saw the faces of the people stood out to me. They might have bleached blonde hair. They might have stylish, but their face stood out to me. And when I would see their face, I would sit at the stoplight and sob and cry. And I knew that God was dealing with my heart about the needs of mankind. I knew it. I didn't know the steps. I didn't have a five-year plan. And I don't think you should just dive into something and don't misunderstand that. But I think there is a place. I think there is a place in the kingdom of God where he moves you in maturity. Young Christians, hear this. Where he moves you in maturity and he calls you to get thee out to a place that I will show thee. I've often said I've never had the luxury of seeing the whole staircase, but God always shows me the next step. We got a couple things right here at CMO that I believe God has shown us the next step. I don't know where it's going. I don't know what's going to be. Colleen, you know one of them I'm talking about? Yeah. We don't know for sure where it's going to go, but I believe God's in the next step, and I believe he has spoken to us that we're to take the next step. And then I will show thee afterwards. It wouldn't be faith if it was all spelled out and in writing. There'd be no element of faith in it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Remember we started with that verse? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. What is God asking of you in 2016? Is there a new season? It is time you let out the clutch. It's time you put it in gear and let out the clutch and take that new season. God wants to do new things in your life. Can I just throw this in real quick? Okay. Somebody said, uh-huh, it was Bob. Thanks, Bob. I was wrestling with going to Chicago because it wasn't a popular idea. It's pastoring improved. Numbers aren't everything, for sure. But if we lift up Christ, it does say it will draw men. And so you know, numbers aren't a bad thing either. And we've run over 400 in attendance, and we just opened a teen center. And spent a lot of time with Chris helping that get that going. And he's having 120 kids come on Sunday night. And Judge Embry, the judge at the time, said that, he said, you got some of the roughest kids in Peru coming up here. He says, I'm just amazed they're coming. And God called us out. Be honest with you, it didn't make sense in a way. I said it reverently. It didn't make logically to just look at it. It didn't look. And I remember Dave Ramos back there. Dave and I met at the truck stop. And I remember where we sat, Dave. And I needed somebody to understand what I was feeling. And I started sharing with Dave about going to Chicago. Little did I know what God wanted to do and all that. It looked different to me then, looking back. Hindsight's 20/20. I see a lot of things God was doing that I thought when we went into it, maybe it was he was doing this, or maybe I'm supposed to pastor a big church up there, or this and that and the other. I think there was tainted motive in that. But looking back, I'm older now, but God wanted to get me up there for other reasons. Well, I sat in the truck stop with Dave. Dave, that was a precious moment in my life. And I shared this with Dave. And I'd never seen Dave cry. I'm sure Dave cries. We all do at times, but I'd never seen Dave cry. Dave just wasn't a man that you saw tears. And Dave started crying. And he cried hard. Just broke down at the table there at the truck stop. And I knew that God spoke to me, that somebody connected and understood or something. There was something going on here spiritually, and I felt that was a strong confirmation. So when I drove to Chicago, because I was going to Chicago 2 days a week to kind of test the waters and see how things would go and what we should do and test the pure spirits, see if they be of God. I drove my Jeep up to Chicago and I went down Western Avenue and I parked across from Lane Tech High School. 9,000 go to school there, and I thought they're going to let out school in 20 minutes. I'm going to watch all this, see what the kids are like in Chicago, in inner city Chicago. When I pulled up there, I had prayed something along this order. Don't remember the exact prayer. That was 17, 18 years ago. 18 years ago. I had prayed, Lord, is Dave right? Am I right? Dave seems to understand. Just give me some confirmation that I'm doing the right thing. It looks kind of crazy on the surface. And I pulled off there by the high school, got out of my Jeep, shut it off, shut the ragtop door, turned the thing, and was going to walk around just standing up against the post and watch school let out. And I leaned up against the post in front of my house, and something inside said, look behind you. And I turned around and back, and on the front of the house, it said, welcome to the Ramoses. That was the name on the house of the people that lived there. And I had parked right in front of a house. I had asked God to give me confirmation through that whole process. Believe in God for a new season. What am I saying in that little story? If you step out and believe God for a new season, people may not always understand it. It may not always be clear to everyone. But God will send you confirmations, and he'll talk to your own heart. And there'll be times when you know in your knower that God is confirming to you what you're to do. Almost done. Daniel 6:10, believing God through something fearful. I'm not going to spend much time on this one because I think I need to hit the last one. That's my sense, I believe, from the Lord in sharing this. Daniel 6:10, though, is where Daniel, after the decree had been signed that you'll be cast into the lion's den, if you pray to any other god but the king, it says there in Daniel 6:10 that Daniel knelt down as he always had done, raised his window and turned toward heaven, turned toward Jerusalem, which was the place of the temple and the holiest of holies. The whole idea was he was turning to face God and his connection with God and believing God through something fearful. God called me to do that in my cancer journey 10 years ago, to believe him through something fearful. Well, they're going to put you in a lion's den, and the horrors of that, of starving lions. What kind of capital punishment is that? What kind of people have a capital punishment that it's starving lions in a den? You know, wow. Believing God through something fearful. And I don't know what you may be facing. It may be this is your first year alone. Some of you that would definitely apply to. Maybe it's your first year to face a crisis in your marriage. I don't know any of those things. But believing God through something fearful, God comes through. And God honored Daniel's faith. I'm going to move on because I need to finish with this one. This one almost seems like it doesn't fit. Tom, it doesn't seem to fit. If you were going to pick, you were going to pick four Bible characters to pick, Noah, Abraham, Daniel, that makes sense. But Samson? Do you know that Samson's in the 11th chapter of Hebrews? His name is there. What more shall I say? Do I have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel? And this is for somebody here this morning. And I can't leave it out, even though it's time to close. Hang with me just a little longer. Next week's going to be all music. Going back, hear me, going back and believing God for something you gave up on. There's something you gave up on. You used to pray with fervency about it. But you've gotten discouraged. I've been there. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap. There's something that you've prayed for and you've gotten discouraged. Go back and believe God for that thing you gave up on. Renew your commitment to pray for it. I don't know what it is, but I believe in my spirit. I feel the Lord summoning my back. It's for you. Quickly, let me just say how that applies because it's powerful. Stay with me. No sermon next week. Samson, come down here so you keep listening. Samson, he had messed it up big time. He was called to be the man who brought judgment And you know all the different things, and there's some things in there you're like, what's that about? But Samson was a man used of God, and he had incredible strength, and his strength was through his hair. You know about that. It's just interesting. He had had the Nazirite vow, and won't go into all of that. That certainly has spiritual application here. But he had given in to lust, and years passed, and he wasted his life in lust. Of course, we all know the story of Samson and Delilah. And he lost his strength. He allowed to tell the secret, his Nazirite gift, and he was allowed them to cut his hair, and he lost his strength. He lost the strength of the spirit within him. And it's a powerful story because in his later years, after he had been made fun of and bound and chained and he had lost his strength and he'd given up his vow to the Lord and he had gone the way of lust, we read there, and I'll not turn to it, but he was in a great assembly with thousands and thousands of Philistines there, and his eyes had been poked out, and he was blinded, and both of his eyes had been poked out. And they had a young boy leading him around, and they were scoffing at him and making fun of him, God's man who had lost his way. And he said to the young boy, take me around to the pillars of the temple. And he went around to the pillars of the temple, and his hair had begun to grow, and they hadn't noticed that. And of course, that's their symbolism, and that isn't just about the hair of God's Spirit coming back. And he leaned down in his blinded, pitiful state. Hear me out. He leaned down in his blinded, pitiful state, and he put one arm around this pillar that held up the huge amphitheater with thousands of people in. And he put the other arm around this pillar, and he said, God, return to me again my strength. And he pulled the building down, and he died with the Philistines. But he died victoriously because he came back to what he was intended to be. He was bringing judgment. And he ended doing God's will and what God had called him to do, even in his death. But he was renewed again with the Spirit of God, going back and believing God for something you gave up on. The child that you've gotten worn out praying for. I've been there. Lord, I recommit to believing you again. In 2016, I'm going to grab this thing again. I'm going to lead me around to those pillars. The enemy's everywhere around me, and they're laughing and they're jeering, and they're saying this doesn't work. And look all the years you've prayed for your son or daughter, and nothing's happened. Take me around to those pillars, I said. Take me around to those pillars. And he grabbed those pillars, and he bowed his head in humility, and the Spirit of God came on him. Now, this is a dangerous message. It is. Because when you talk about principles of faith, you can go crazy this way or crazy this way or anything. I can't control that. What I got to do is tell you truth. Okay? I can't control that. I have no desire to control that. But what I have desire is to tell you truth. These principles I've told you are true. Sometimes God will call you like Noah to do something that sounds crazy to everybody else. You've got to figure that out. Seek counsel. We can do crazy things too. We're capable. Okay? Sometimes it's like Abraham, get thee out, a new season. You're not sure where you're going, but I want that new season. And sometimes it's like Daniel to face a fearful thing, but I believe the Lord's thumb is in my back on this one, going back and believing God for something you gave up on. What is that thing you've given up on? You're not praying for it with the fervency you did because you're just exhausted with it. You're worn out. What is that thing? Go back. Lead me back to those pillars. I know I haven't seen things clearly. I know I haven't had the spiritual eyes I should. I know I lost my Nazirite vow. I know I've messed up this thing. I know lust has took me 20 directions. Little boy, take me around to the pillars. Because I'm going to reconnect with God, and I'm going to do what he told me to do in the first place. God's a God of second chances, and he'll do it at the last day of your life. All right. Remember, next week you'll think, boy. No sermon this week. So take the time I preached today and divide it by two, and I did fine. I did. I had a 20-minute sermon today, 22 minutes. Okay. This stuff will be good for you, and remember what I said, it's food for thought. I want you to think on this. I hope you've written these down or you got recorded in your mind. because I believe that there's something of faith for each of us in that. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your anointing, for your speaking, and pray you take these things and use them. Apply them to each person as you will. We commit them to you. Guide our afternoon. May your grace and peace be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.